239.
Thank you.
believe about the doctrine of election. And if you err on either side of that, you're going to run into a problem. You have Arminian and Calvinism, and yep, both of them are wrong. Right?
Amen.
Right.
The way I look at it is this. When you're outside, you'll see posted on the door, "Whosoever will may come freely."
Amen.
But when you walk in and look back at the door, it'll say "chosen" before the foundation of the world. That's how I look at it. Okay? I hope that clears things up slightly. Pastor, if you want to comment later about that, you certainly can. Anyway, I thought I'd mention that because it says something about that in the song we just sang. All right. Just a couple of announcements. We want to continue to pray for Pastor's family. He mentioned, of course, the closing on his house in South Carolina this week. So he'll be leaving tomorrow to head back. And Lord Woolman will be looking forward to seeing him again next week. So we'll keep praying that God will take care of all those details. And keep praying about that. Do we have confirmation on Wednesday night yet?
Dick Prue.
Okay, so Dick Prue has agreed to come back this coming Wednesday night. He'll be here. And we kind of put him on the spot last Wednesday. I didn't mean to do that, but wanted him to be aware that we had the opportunity if he desired to come. And so we're glad he's able to be with us. The lesson he gave last Wednesday was a real blessing about, it took an old story about David and Goliath and helped us see some, me personally, I saw some new things that I hadn't thought of before from the message he gave that last Wednesday night. So looking forward to seeing what the Lord will do through him again this coming Wednesday night. And then we will have a service tonight at 6:30 p.m. Hope you'll come back and be with us. Pastor Will Bloom will continue his study in 1 Thessalonians. We'll be looking forward to that. I was just handed this little notebook. The only identifying thing on it is the brand name says Studio C. It was left on one of the seats back here, and there's writing in it. But we don't know who it belongs to. Nobody's name is in it. So if it belongs to you, I'm going to put it over here on the side of the platform, and then you can pick it up. And if it belongs to somebody, yes, Sam?
That insulated mug is still sitting up there.
Yes, that's still there. And then there's this basket of items that Brother Chris Mitchell brought in. Today will be the last day. If anybody's interested in that stuff, he's going to take it back home if nobody takes it. So. Anyway, this mug says on it Victualic Contigo. So I'm sure I'm mispronouncing the first one, but anyway, that's the brand that's on there. I don't know who belongs to. All right. Two last things. One, we missed it in Sunday school, but this week is Virginia's birthday, so we're going to sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Glad that you both are able to be with us today. We are going to move on to our new memory verse today, and usually we don't take the time to go over it in morning service, but we will today. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Most of you know this, but a brief background on Ecclesiastes. We have Proverbs right before it. That was written fairly early in Solomon's life when he was still living for the Lord. Ecclesiastes came along toward the end of his life when he had turned his back on the Lord and started worshiping the false gods that the many wives and concubines he had were following. And he got himself into a lot of trouble. And as we know, because of the wickedness that he was involved in, the kingdom was divided during his son's reign, which came right after him, Rehoboam. And so Solomon recognized the error of his way right at the end of his life, that the damage had been done. Anyway, we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and we're going to go with verse number 9 today. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. Let's say it one time together. Ecclesiastes 1, 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Most of us have probably heard that last phrase in that verse many times and probably didn't know where it came from. It comes from this passage of Scripture. Okay. Let's take our hymnbooks once again and turn to 385. 385.
Let me give you a quick update on my wife. She's going to need to go back to Philly this Saturday. The plan right now is to take her back to Philly. She didn't get as much of a bounce back the last time she was in as she'd hoped for, and that's why she's on oxygen now. So we talked to the doctor this week, and he thinks that there'd be some benefit from her going back to the hospital and trying another two-week stay with treatments and see if she can get more lung function. Lung function was only in the 20%, so that's pretty low, and it's the lowest it's been after a hospital stay for her. So she asked him what that means, and he said, well, this is a degenerative disease, and things don't get better. So the new medicine, we do believe there's been a benefit from that new medicine that she's been getting, but it just doesn't seem... It's not going to cure anything. All it does is alleviate symptoms. And so keep her in prayer, emotionally, physically, and she's going to go down there and spend 2 weeks and can't have visitors yet, so it's kind of lonely. So keep her in prayer. This song I was going to sing last week, but the Holy Spirit took us in a different direction, and this is her song. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth love? So help me, Jesus.
Y'all, something this week, just pray for them. Pray for Jason and Kelly. And I'm going to make this request to the church. You don't have to do it. It's up to you, between you and the Lord. But I would make a request to y'all this week, between this Sunday and next Sunday, if the Lord lay upon your heart, to fast one day to pray for our dear sister. The Lord laid that upon my heart when I was sitting there. Actually, when Jason called me Friday, the Lord just shook me up a little bit, saying I'd get a little closer to him, praying for him and his wife. It's a difficult time. So I'm asking, as a church body, as a congregation, if the Lord lay upon your heart, again, it's not something you're forced to be doing, but if the Lord lay upon your heart to fast one day this week, and to keep our dear sister in prayer with the things she's struggling with, the things she's going through that nobody knows about, but her and Jason, her and the Lord. I ask that you would do that, bring her before the throne of grace, that God would give her the peace and comfort she needs through this difficult time. If you take your Bibles this morning, you please stand, if you can, to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 8. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 8. Looking at this morning, the Lord laid this message upon my heart yesterday morning as I was flying up here. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 8, looking at the widow woman whom the Lord sent provision to through the prophet Elijah. The Bible says in 1 Kings 17 verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for him and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until that Lord send rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, dear God. We thank you for your blessings, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for this time to be able to gather in your house, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to be able to open up your word. Lord, I pray you just help us now. I know some have heavy hearts, dear God, Lord. Difficult things going on, Lord. But Lord, we're here to glorify you. Lord, we're here, Lord, to get something from your word, Lord, to help us to continue to fight the good fight for you. Lord, help us to stay faithful. Lord, I pray now, Lord, you just open your word unto us that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, we just praise you and give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 8 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying to Elijah, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a woman to sustain thee. Elijah previously was running, and the Lord had directed him to a brook where a raven had fed him and brought him meat. In verse number 7, it says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And God speaks to Elijah now, and he says to go to a city that belongs to Zidon. He says, God tells Elijah, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Command means this, ordered or directed. To sustain means to bear, to hold up, to support, to keep from sinking in despondency, to maintain, to keep alive, to support in any condition by aid, to assist or relieve. So God tells Elijah, listen, Elijah, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. This woman doesn't realize it yet, but she has a mission. She has a command from God that hasn't even been revealed to her yet. Yet God says, I've commanded her to do what? To sustain, to uphold, to maintain, to keep alive, to support who? Elijah during his time. When following the Lord, sometimes our relief and support may come from an unusual and unsuspecting source. This widow woman has no idea yet that God is getting ready not only to meet her need, but to give to her by being able to help someone else out. You see, this widow woman finds her relief by giving to Elijah, and thus she is sustained by God. Brethren, this morning, continue to be faithful and have both your eyes and ears open to the Lord. Even through difficult times when you have no insight or understanding why things are the way they are. God, why is this happening? If you ask those questions, just continue to be faithful and always have your eyes and open unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness. And we're going to see this in this widow woman. She is a faithful woman. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Take your Bible and look over at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The word of God says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we commanded you. You see, being established by the Lord, being kept by the Lord, God is faithful to us, but God expects us to do what we need to do on our part. We cannot just be inert. We cannot just sit in a state of nothingness and not be active for God. And I don't mean in a physical sense. I don't mean in a moving sense. Some people can't move. Some people can't be active. But they can be active and moving in a spiritual realm for God. Do you understand this morning? You can say, well, my hope, my plight is I'm laid up in a hospital bed. But I can pray and I can seek God's face for not only myself, but for others that I know that are in my life. And God can do something not only for you, but for that other individual that you're praying to God for. This widow woman did what she could do. And you see here in 2 Thessalonians 3 that God says he's faithful who shall what? Establish you. God can establish you. God can set you firm upon that rock like we talked about in the Sunday school hour. Why? Verse number 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. Why? That ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Just be faithful to what God's commanded you to do. You say, well, Brother Chris, what is that God commanded me to do? I don't know. I don't know what God's commanded you to do in your life. Where it comes to having a walk with God, like I say earlier, you wake up every morning and say, God, my life is before you. What would you have me to do? What would you have me to do today? Do not worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Well, what about tomorrow? Well, what about next week? What about next month? That's not here. Tomorrow or today. Be concerned with today. See, the devil will get in our mind and the devil will plague us and the devil will give despondency and depression and anxiety when we start thinking for the future instead of the exact moment that we're living in. You see, God only gives grace for the situation you're in at that moment. He's not going to give you grace for something that you may face 3 months from now because you're not there yet. The grace is for today. The sufficiency is for today. Give us this day our daily bread. Rest in God in today and know that He is faithful. Do what He's commanded you. The Lord is able to establish, sustain, and keep us, but it takes an engaged believer to put these promises into motion. Are we at our wits' end? Look to Jesus and His word to find help in a time of need. Take your Bible and look at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. This widow woman is at her wits' end. She's at the very end. At least that's what she thinks she's at the end. She thinks that the end is coming because there's been no rain, there's a famine, she's going to gather a few sticks. All she has is a handful of meal and a little bit of cruse of oil and a cruse. She's thinking that she's getting ready to gather these sticks to go back to her little son, and she's going to make a little fire, she's going to bake a little cake, they're going to eat, and then they're going to lie down and die. That's what she thinks. But that's not what God thinks. Trust God. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. The Bible says that's a command. Now here's a command. What Jesus commanded, what I talk about in 2 Thessalonians. This is a command. Be careful for nothing. What does careful mean? Now listen, the Bible says be careful for nothing. What does careful mean? Full of care. Anxious. Anxious means this. Greatly concerned. Respecting something future or unknown. Being in painful suspense. The Word of God says, through Paul and the Holy Ghost, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then what? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Those are some verses to memorize right there, brethren. Those are some verses that will see you through difficult and tough times. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Preacher, I don't understand. Well, neither do I. But I know God understands. I might not have the answer, but I know one who does, and it's Jesus Christ. God understands times when we don't understand. And what a blessing it is to know that we have a Savior that we can cry out to and say, God, I don't understand why this is happening, Lord. But God, I know You understand. A peace which passeth all understanding shall do what? What shall it do for you? It shall keep your hearts and your minds. You see, that's what the devil wants. The devil wants your heart and he wants your mind, because if he can get those two things, he can get you in a state of despair, depression, and I just give up and quit. Because he's got your heart and he's got your mind. I believe in the book of Jeremiah it says, mine eye affects my heart. Mine eye affects my heart. Keep your eyes on Jesus and not on this world. If your eyes are on this world, your heart will be affected, which will then in turn affect your mind. But if your eyes are focused and single upon the Lord Jesus Christ, your eye will affect your heart because you're looking on Jesus and He'll work in your life. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Look at Peter walking on the water. He started to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to hear and to see the wind boisterous. He began to go off of what he saw instead of what God said. Don't walk by eyesight. Walk by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude chapter 24 and 25. Look on over there at the book of Jude. Jude verses 24 and 25, right there before the book of Revelation. Jude chapter number 20, or chapter 1, only one chapter, verses 24 and 25. Look what he says here at the very end. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Jesus Christ is able to keep us from falling. Now back to the widow woman there in 1 Kings chapter number 17. God commanded Elijah, or God commanded a widow woman to sustain Elijah. The Bible says in verse number 10 in chapter 17, so he arose, talking about Elijah, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse number 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. This widow woman is doing all that she can up until what appears to be the very end. She was about the Lord's business and doing what she could to the very end. Look, this widow woman had no quit in her. She says, I got a little bit of stuff back at the house that'll sustain me and my son one more time, and I'm going to do all I can up to that very end. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to say it's over till God says it's over. And she says, if I just get a couple sticks, I still got some stuff that God's given me. It's not over yet. So she's out there gathering of sticks. She's doing what she can do. Look, if we're alive and we're breathing this morning, all God requires of us is to do what we can do. And that's all you can do. You can do no more, no less, other than what God's enabled you to do. Take your Bible and look at Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 3. I'm going to show you another woman in the Bible that did what she could do. And we're still talking about it today, some 2,000 years later. Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 3. Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon a leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. You see, when you start doing what God would lay upon your heart to do, expect opposition. Expect people to say things about you. Expect people to murmur about you. You're wasting your time coming to church this morning. You could be doing something that's profitable in your life, is the voice of the enemy. But we come to church to get something from God. And this woman here, who is Mary, she takes this box of spikenard, this precious ointment, and she breaks it and pours it on his head. Sometimes we need to be broken before God in order to get the help that we need. See, a lot of times we don't want to get broken. But see, when you're broken, God can do something. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. But a proud and haughty heart will get nowhere with God. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. But we don't want to be broken because brokenness is a sign of weakness. And we're a proud people and we can't show weakness. But God says, my strength is strong when you're weak. I misquoted that, but when I'm weak, then I'm strong. My grace is sufficient for thee. in a weakened state. This woman breaks this box of this ointment over his head. And the other books in the Bible, Matthew and Luke, talk about Mary and how she wiped his feet with her hair. Look at verse number 6. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always, and whatsoever or whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always." Look what verse 8 says. She had done what she could. Do what you can. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her. You see, Mary had the inside track with the Lord. She's coming to him to anoint him for his burial because she's been listening, because she's been sitting at the seat of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. Martha was cumbered about with much work, with much service for God, but she missed what Jesus was saying. Mary was able to sit still before Jesus, and she heard his words, and she realized he's getting ready to die. The disciples missed it. Mary didn't miss it because she could stay still at the feet of Jesus. Get some time alone with God this week and sit still at the feet of Jesus and hear what he has to say to you in your own life. Walk with God and he'll lead and direct you. And when he gives you that direction, do what you can do. All Mary could do at this point is take this precious box of ointment and anoint him for his burial. This woman, she's doing what she can do. She's busy trying to sustain and support her household to the very end. The Lord will often put us in positions of trial and testing to pull out where the heart may be. Look back here in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 11, or verse number 10, the latter part of verse 10. You see this with the Lord, and you see this in the way God deals with individuals. When God deals with individuals, he does it in such a way to pull out, where is your heart? So Elijah comes on the scene. Now, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us if she knew who he was, that she knew he was Elijah. I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us if she knew who he was before she saw him. But imagine this, imagine all the things she's got going on in her mind. There's this famine in the land, there hasn't been water. She has a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and it seems she's a widow, she doesn't have a husband. She's like, Lord, it just seems like everything's coming to an end. Can you imagine all that's going on in her mind and the enemy plaguing her? But she's faithful to God, and she says, I'll just do what I can do and keep the child there at the home. I'm going to go try to find some sticks. And she's trying to find these sticks, and here comes this man into the gate. And this man comes into the gate, and the first thing he calls to her, look what he says to her. He says, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Fetch you a little water. You don't know my circumstances. You don't know what I'm going through. I'm trying to get some sticks together to go back and sustain me and my son for just a little longer. And you want me to get you something to drink? You know, our attitude today would be, you go get yourself something to drink. Because I'm going through all this right now. You get all antsy. Is it not true? When you got things on your mind and somebody and you lose it for a second. You go get yourself something to drink. I got some important going on now. We're getting ready to die. She says, fetch me. He says, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel to drink. Look at verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. You see, God takes it one step further. He knew she could go get some water. She had the ability to go get some water. But then he took it another, he upped it up one more. To something that she can't do or she could do, but it's going to cost her. See, I want that level. It scares me to say it, but I want that level. Strive for that level. Lord, let me get to that level. That's a hard level to get to, though, because it's going to cost. A lot of Christians don't want to go that far. Lord, just take me right here and I'm content. No, I'm not content right here. Lord, I want higher ground. I want higher ground. Lord, I want to be all I can be for you to the day you take me home. But it comes at a cost. It comes at a sacrifice. And God brings her to the position through Elijah to see what is she going to do. Are you willing to set aside your plans, wants, motives, and desires in order to do what God wants and desires in your life? Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse number 23. The book of Luke, chapter 9, and verse number 23. Luke 9, 23. Jesus talking to his disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain a whole world and lose himself or be a castaway?" What do you desire? What do you desire? Are you desiring to try to keep your own life, your own ways, your own desires, your own motives, your own plans? Or are you willing to get up daily and put yourself on that cross and die daily to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, it's your life now and not mine. For you're bought with a price and you're not your own." If you're saved this morning, you're bought with a price. You are no longer yourself. You're no longer your own self to do what you want to do. You're now the Savior's. Are you willing to yield and come onto that yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to lead and direct you in your life? It comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. Back at 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 12. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12. She goes to fetch this water. And as she's going to fetch this water, Elijah throws one more thing in there and says, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And look what she says in verse number 12. And she says, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to the Lord. Explain to him your situation. Always be open and honest with God. The Bible talks there in the book of Psalms that the psalmist had a complaint towards God. And I think God's God enough to be able to receive a complaint. Pour out your heart to God and just be open and honest. Don't try to cover things up. Don't try to be something you're not. Just be who you are before God. See, we always, the way the church is set up today, I'm not talking about this church, I'm thinking of the church as a whole, is just, there's just this way you're supposed to do things, the tradition of men, and how you're supposed to look, and how you're supposed to carry yourself, and how you're supposed to go through the services in a certain order. And I'm all for order and structure, but as I believe, you got to be led and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. And we get this formalism about us, this religious formalism, and we just go through the motions, but there's no heart towards God. I get up every morning, I might read my Bible, I pray, and I, brethren, I understand, I do the same thing. Sometimes you get caught in this rut and you just go through the motions. But don't ever lose your heart towards God. And if you feel like you're caught in this rut that you can't break out of, you just feel like it's just this monotonous thing every day, ask God to stir up his spirit within you. Ask him to breathe in that breath, new life again into your life that you had when you first got saved. To where it's just not monotonous, but it's a joy to serve Jesus Christ. It's a joy serve our Savior. It's a joy to praise and glory and give him honor. It shouldn't just be, I just got to go to church again. It should not. I don't think that, I got to go to church this morning. I'm even talking before I was a pastor. I want to go to church. I want to be around the brethren. I want to be around y'all. When I was back there in South Carolina, I want to be around the brethren because I need them. You see, that's why it's so important to be together in church. Because we need one another. We need that touch. We need that interaction. We need that that what we can give to one another helps sustain us because God's created us that way. God has not created us to be solitary and off by ourselves. You get yourself a mess and danger when you're cooped up in a room somewhere and you ain't getting out of it. Brethren, I'd rather go out and be with God and maybe live only 2 days than be cooped up in a room for 10 years and not be around nobody. Do you hear me this morning? I'd rather be out and in front of everybody and God help me. I think God understands what I'm getting ready to say. God, I'm not saying this arrogantly. I'm not saying it foolishly. I would rather be around God's people in the church and catch corona because I'm doing something for God and pass away than stuck up in my house for 3 years and not be around God and God be dead in my life. Look, if Patrick Henry can say, give me liberty or give me death for a country, we can't say that about our God. Now look, I don't say that foolishly. I don't say that arrogantly. I don't want to get sick. But I want my Father's business, and I can't be dictated by fear. Do you understand? Understand, I don't want to get sick. God, I don't want to get sick. But I'm not going to be dictated by fear either. Because fear casts out love. Take your Bible, look over at 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Brethren, you all know what leprosy is? What's leprosy? Is it bad? Real bad. Can you catch it? Yeah, you can get leprosy from somebody else. Listen to me this morning. I'm not going to be outdone by Teresa. I'm not going to be outdone by Teresa of Calcutta. I'm stirred up right now. I'm stirred up. I'm not going to be outdone by some Catholic woman over in India who's got more faith to walk with God than a Bible-believing Christian in America. She had the heart to go into India to help lepers. She gave up everything she had because she thought it would earn her heaven. And now she's in a lake of fire because she didn't put her faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But man, did that woman work. And she didn't put the fear of maybe possibly contracting leprosy before what she thought was serving God. We're in trouble. You say, why is America in trouble today? You say, why is there riots in the street? Why can't we control our kids and our education system? Why is everything going crazy? Because we turned our back on God. We think that we can do it. No, we can't. We can't do it. Our country can't do it without God. We need a revival in the land, but the revival starts first in the homes among believers. Then it pours over into the church and then into a city and then into a country. But if it doesn't happen in your prayer closet at home, it will never happen in a church or in a nation. Brethren, I love you. And I didn't mean, look, you can look at my notes. There's some of, I didn't even plan on talking some of this stuff. But we're in, look, I said it in Sunday school hour. Now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our safer salvation nearer than when we believed. We're getting ready to go home soon, brethren. You're getting ready to appear before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who has a vesture dipped in blood. And on that vesture says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How are we going to appear before him? How are we going to appear before the King? If you're here this morning, you probably believe that there's a God and you probably believe in Jesus Christ. But do you see him as he is? He's not a babe in a manger. He's a king on a throne. And he deserves all we can give him to the last breath that we take. And he doesn't want his servants to be living in a life of fear. What would a military man say when the sergeant come to him and said, hey, I need you to go out there and I need you to take that city? Yeah, but they're shooting over there. Sir, can you talk to the commander and let him know that they're firing bullets and mortars and bombs over there? Does he realize and he wants me to go there? Yeah, I want you to go there and I want you to take the city. Yeah, but sir, I might lose my life when I go take this. Yeah, exactly. God may be asking you to take a city, but you got to be willing to lose your life in Christ. See, a lot of people are like, no, you can keep that city. I don't want that. I'm content right here. I'm content with this little bit I got, this little bit of wood, hay, stubble. Maybe it'll see it through the fire at the judgment seat of Christ. Brethren, we're accountable. We're accountable, not to me. I'm nobody. I'm a nothing. But we're accountable to a Savior who died on a cross and was put to an open shame for you and for me. The Creator of all that we see became a man and was stripped naked and was beaten and was buffeted and was slapped in the face and a crown of thorns plaited on his head. And he was whipped and he was spit upon and he was mocked and said, prophesy if you be God. And then he was hung there on that cross in an open shame before everybody. And he had the very power in his hands to wipe this whole thing out. Yet he knew that if he did that, there was no hope for you and for me. And so he hung on that cross and he shed his precious blood that we may now be made the sons of God through him. Look at that great response. We are debtors to a great Savior. It ain't just about church, brethren. It's about our life with God. It's just not a matter of coming here, punching our tickets, saying, I went to church this morning. Now everything's all right with God, and I'll go about my rest of my life Monday through Saturday. No, it's a 24/7, 365 thing with God. And this widow woman had it. She was willing to deny herself and walk with God, and God's going to bring her a deliverance. Back to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to finish this thing up. Look what she says in verse number 12. She says, and a little oil in a cruse and a handful of meal in a barrel. Bring what little you have, whether it be strength, life, finances, or means, and let the Lord take care of the rest. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, hear this. Take what little you have, whatever it is. You say, preacher, I ain't got money. Preacher, I ain't got much strength. Preacher, I ain't got much this or I ain't got much that. But I do have a little bit of this that I can do. Take it to Jesus and let him do the rest. A smooth little stone took out a giant. A poor widow gave two mites and was acknowledged by the Lord of giving all that she had. A poor little maid helped Naaman find deliverance from leprosy. Out of little Bethlehem, Judah, came our mighty Savior. A few little fishes fed over 4,000 people. The little flock in Luke chapter 12, verse number 32, gets the Father's kingdom. The church of Philadelphia had a little strength, but great doors were opened for them by the Lord. See, God can do much with little. Take your little that you got and bring it to God. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Glory to God. I love that. When I was reading that, I said, Lord, that is it right there. Elijah said to her, first thing he says to her, she brings her complaint before Elijah. Said, Elijah, all I got's this. All I got is this, Elijah. First thing he says to her, fear not. Don't fear. Why? Because he knows fear is going to creep in. Elijah knows, he says, he knows the ability for fear to creep in. He tells the woman, first thing he tells her, don't fear. Why? She has every right to fear. He says, don't fear not, fear not. Look what he says in verse 13, go and do as thou hast said. But before you do that, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Don't be fearful, only trust what the Lord has said and commanded. 2 Timothy 1:7, we know this verse, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, and love, and a sound mind. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 11. Take that real quick. We'll look over here. 1 John 4, I'm about done. Just bear with me a few more minutes. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 11. 1 John 4, 11. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love. He's given us a spirit of love, because love casts out fear. Look at 1 John 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that love, believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now look, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If fear starts, look at the love of Jesus Christ. If fear begins to creep in, look at what the Savior's done for you. He loves you. He cares for you. He hears your prayers. He hears the prayers that you don't even say. He knows what's on your heart. He knows what's on your mind. Love him. Because that when you start loving him and loving others, that fear will slowly dissipate away. Because perfect love casteth out fear. You see, fear is a love problem. Fear is a love problem. Get our love back to where it needs to be, that fear dissipates out. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail. Jesus is the bread of life that will never fail us. Jesus said in John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The comfort and leading of the Holy Spirit will also never fail. John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide, that he may abide with you forever. This widow woman didn't quit. She had a little there in the household, and God saw fit to sustain her with the little she had, because she was willing to do what God commanded. She was willing to do for Elijah first, and then God took care of her second. Do for others first. Be about the Father's business. Put your heart, mind, and soul of what I can do for others. And then before you know it, you realize you're getting the help that you need. And that's exactly what happened with this widow woman, who thought the end was near, but God had a purpose for her in her life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I know I got a little stirred up there, dear God. And Father, Lord, it's just something that's heavy on my heart, dear God. Help this church, these precious believers, these precious brethren coming out on a Sunday morning. Lord, I pray, God, you just give them the help they need. Lord, if there's something on somebody's heart this morning that nobody knows about but between them and you, Lord, I pray you'd help them with it. Lord, I pray you'd meet them where they're at, dear God. I pray you'd sustain them, Lord. I pray you'd give them strength and encouragement and help this morning, Lord, that they realize this morning the great love you have towards them. And Lord, I pray we would love you back for what you deserve or what you've done for us, dear God, that we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to continue on to fight the good fight. Lord, bless these brethren as they go home now this afternoon. I pray you'd bring us back together again safely this evening. And Lord, that we would just continue to glorify you in this lost and dying world, Lord, that somebody would see the need of a Savior by us, dear God. Help us just to be that light. We pray this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you all will permit me, I'd like to close with a hymn. Brother Jason, we play, sing, And I'm going to have to ask you to stand on this one because it's hard to sit when you sing this song. Page number 417. Page number 417 in the blue hymn book. It is well with my soul. If you could stand.
Thank you for those who came out this morning to send some of that praise back towards Him. Thank you for this time. We pray you bless us as we go our way and uplift each spirit that's here today. And we just pray that you bring us back tonight to hear your word again. And give us a good afternoon. Help everyone be encouraged as we go away. So well, thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Love you all, brother. You all.